My name's David Murray. This is a workshop about Scripture memory. I titled it The Who, What, Where, When, or Why and When of Scripture Memory. That should kick us off. I said my name, it's David Murray, but I live in Oklahoma City. I'm a geologist, done it for 37 years. Got four kids, 11 grandkids. My wife is praying for us right now, and that's a special thing. So are my kids. But let's pray before we start, okay? If you would just bow me in prayer. Father, I pray that you would bless our time. As I've talked to you today, Lord, I know that I've asked for your blessing upon the things that I say and the meditations of my heart. And I just pray that you would continue to work in my life and these men's lives. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we all might be encouraged by this to move ahead in not just our Scripture memory, but also our relationship with you and with the men that we come in contact with and the relationships that we have. Help us to be encouraged and be strengthened today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we've got a little outline that I'm going to try to follow. My wife has always told me brevity is better than anything else, and so we've got an hour and 15 minutes. I promise we will not go over this. There I go again, making promises. This workshop is about memorizing Scripture from beginning to end. Is it for you? Obviously, you're here, so I think it is for you guys. I think it's for me. I think it's one of the most important things that a Christian can do. And I say that because I think it's what has happened all through history. Before Christ came, people were memorizing Scripture because they didn't have it readily. Well, we've got it so readily, it still, that does not make it unimportant to memorize. And so Scripture memory is hugely important. We'll explore today the use of God's Word, both personally, and I start with that because Scripture memory has to start with you. You can't want it for your kids. I can't want it for my sons and my daughter and my wife if I'm not doing it. It's got to start with me. And it's got to start with you. But then it also goes into ministry, and we'll talk about that a little bit. It goes to work with us. I pray and quote Scripture to myself in my office while I'm working all the time because I need the encouragement from God. I need to know that God's there with me. Especially, it's good for one-on-one when we're working with a guy one-on-one. Hopefully, each one of you is either with another guy and you're their guy, or you're really considering finding some guy that you can connect with and start doing some ministry with or start memorizing Scripture with. The guy back in the back, Mike Berglund, is one of my guys. That doesn't mean I'm above him. No. Because he's one of my guys and I'm one of his guys. And that's one of the things that we're praying about this week is that how can we get back together again and do some more one-on-one stuff. But that's what Scripture memory is all about. I'd like to go to a little question and answer thing, and that goes with this right up here. I want to get some feedback from you guys as far as these questions. We're going to try to look at these things, but like the who of Scripture memory. Who should be memorizing Scripture? Volunteers, got any suggestions? Who?
Everyone.
Everyone. Good. Who else? Just a couple of these things for each one of these deals. Who is Scripture memory for? Everyone's pretty broad. I mean, you know.
Especially pastors or Christian workers.
Christian workers? Good. How about you? How about that? You know, get right down the nitty-gritty. What is Scripture memory? As far as what is it about for you?
Being equipped to do good work.
Being equipped?
You know, I was listening to an old talk of John Crawford with a young voice talking about Scripture memory. It was very interesting. And he said that often we're motivated to memorize Scripture because of some problem we're trying to overcome in our lives. And, you know, I listened to that and I thought, yeah, that's what wasn't me.
Yeah.
So apparently, that's a common motivator. At least it's something John.
Okay. So what? Yeah. That's great for problems. Okay. What would you be memorizing it for?
To 119, 911.
Yeah.
How can a young man cleanse his way?
Right.
By taking me there to word of in my heart. So anyway, I thought that was interesting.
My biggest what is for encouragement. You know, I want it. I want that encouragement, not just when I have my Bible and I'm opening it and I'm reading it, but I want it throughout the day. And so I'll go over Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 over and over and over again. That's about guiding, how God guides me. Or over Isaiah 58, 11, which talks about, you know, the Lord will continually guide you. Man, what an encouragement. That's just the first phrase. It's a real long verse. That's just the first phrase. And most of the time I just stop right there and soak it in. I need that. So it's for encouragement also. What about the where? Where are you supposed to do it? Something you just do at church?
Wherever you can.
Wherever you can, okay. What about, what else?
Walking between classes,
I like that. Why? Why do we memorize Scripture? Now, there's probably a whole bunch of things. We want to keep it to one or two or three, something like that. So, guard your heart. To what?
Sin to, you know, have that word in your heart.
To keep you from sin? Can we say that? Or
to good. Give away.
What?
To give away.
To give away. Good. That's three good ones. When do you do it? Is there a specific time that you like to memorize Scripture? When? Nod your head. When would you like to do it?
Take walks at lunch.
Yeah. Do it over lunch. When else do you do it? What?
When you're on the alert, so you can concentrate.
I didn't hear you. So when you're
alert.
Alert. Yes. Yeah. And that might be at different times for different guys. Because some are morning people, some are night people. I'm not a morning person, so I'm not memorizing Scripture in the morning. So, when you're alert.
There it is.
Yeah. Like the most frequent one, you know, or the one you're reviewing that day, you know. So, in sight, let's put that. You're keeping it in sight. That's where you are. You're going to do it, is when you see it and it's in sight. Those are just a few things. Another thing that I do in my personal life is I teach. I am teaching high schoolers all the time. Been doing it for years and years and years. And I asked some guys on Wednesday night about 2 months ago. Who are in what we call a D group, a discipleship group, and there's about eight. Probably six there that night. They answered I asked them these questions, you know, the who, what, where, when. And this is some of the things that a high schooler said. Do we have any high schoolers in here? I don't think so. You're out of high school. Way out. Who? Everyone. I learned a lot from high schoolers. Because they really have some pretty good answers. And then they added, who would have an excuse? That's pretty good. They also said, believers. It's kind of hard for an unbeliever to really memorize Scripture. I'm good. I've done this with guys who are unbelievers. Tried to get them to memorize Scripture. And it's okay. But I don't know how God's working. I'm normally, you know, having to memorize verses that deal with the bridge illustration or something that's going to lead them to Christ. But every verse could lead them to Christ. I don't know. But they said believers. As far as the what, they said, as far as what are you going to memorize, you're going to memorize Scripture for the meaning and the deeper meaning and the content and context of the verse. Because a lot of times when you're just reading it, if you're not memorizing it, how many guys memorize a verse and go, wow, I never got so much out of that verse before until I memorized it. They also said for the where, well, it's in your head, pretty basic. And where? During your quiet time. Start to memorize Scripture. Make it a part of your quiet time. Why? Why would you do it? Part of this we've already said, but prepare for bad and hard times. You know, doing a little prep work for stuff that might come down the road. Because God's Word is good for the good and the bad. Because it's right. You know, some of these high schoolers are saying, just because it's right, it's better to... Why do you memorize Scripture? To better defend your faith. Or to know what you are believing. To really know. They had a capital K there for know. And then when? Everywhere. That's just from some high schoolers. And I thought that was pretty interesting that they would come up with those. We have... This is where I begin. There's a lot of places that guys can begin with Scripture memory. I'm going to just share with you where I begin and what I do. Back on this question and answer thing, I have a question for you. Is there any, or do you know of any negatives to Scripture memory? Let's talk about that for a second. What are some negatives?
Don't turn it into religion and just memorization for memorization, because that defeats the whole purpose.
Don't make it just a religious act. You know, so the positive of that is make it a personal act. Is that right? Am I going in the right direction with that? Good.
It's not intellectual. I mean, it is, but...
It is, but it's more than that. Yeah, it's a lot more than that.
Yeah, I had at least one fellow who is actually works with another Christian organization for businesses, and he's solid. He really is solid. And I tried to convince him to get going on Christian or on
Scripture
memorization, and his critique has been that most of the people he knew that could really spout it off by memory were doing it, he thought, from prideful reasons to show how much Scripture I know. And so I guess that would be a downside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's doing it for the wrong reason, and that is definitely a wrong reason. I'm coming out here so that if you have something to share, I can get it on this without repeating everything, and so that everybody gets the gist. Mike, did you want to share anything about that negative thought? Is that kind of the same thing as what was said here?
Yeah, it's pretty close.
Mike's got a friend that's almost in the same boat.
He was telling me that he just didn't feel like that he could. It was too hard, that he was afraid he wasn't going to get it word perfect, and so it was, and that was driven into him to try to get it absolutely correct, and so rather than tackling it and taking the challenge, he just said, well, memorizing is just not for me.
Gave up.
Gave up. How many telephone numbers?
Yeah. Yeah. Plus, I said, when Mike and I were talking, I was going, well, he's a believer. He's been to church all of his life. And, well, do you know John 3:16? For God so loved. And Mike was saying, well, yes, but he doesn't say it word perfect. A lot of that, and I want to encourage you guys, because I think coming out of all this, I know coming out of all this, is it for you guys to not only start equipping yourselves with Scripture memory, but you'll pass it on and get a man that you can help encourage him to memorize Scripture. And I just want to encourage you guys, yes, it's very important to get it word perfect. But that sometimes takes a lot of time, and we need to go in there as a mentor, a leader of this other guy that you've got who really wants to start, but do it with gentleness and kindness. If the guy can only get one verse, instead of putting him down, build him up and praise God as he's praising God for that one verse. I think that is really probably one of the best things that we can do. This is what I start with when I have a guy who says, David, you've memorized some scriptures, like he might see my verse pack at my office or see me outside the office or somewhere else, and or he might have come to, he might be one of the students at church, and I'm teaching and I'm quoting scripture, and he says, "Whoa, you memorize scripture. You want to get together and memorize scripture." Well, I start with this pack. This is the Beginning with Christ memory cards. This is the some of you might know this as the assurance verses. I call this the B rations, the Bible rations that every guy needs. And I kind of use this as not as a test, but just go, okay, let's see how serious you are. Here's a little thing. We've only got 5 verses here. You know, I don't want to throw the whole system at them. You know, don't want to do this. You know, but this is good enough. And I'm going, you get 1 line, 1 verse, all 5. Not word perfect, but might be word perfect. We get this done, then maybe we can move on. So I kind of use this as a starting point. And as you go in here, there's 5 verses, the assurance verses. I did work with one guy who didn't like the word assurance. And so I prayed about that a long time. And I said, well, you know, what else are these verses? And these are promises that God gives us. And I said, well, do you like God's promises? And he said, yeah, I like that. I said, well, let's call these promises. God's promises. They're promises of salvation. They're promises of answered prayer. They're promises of victory over sin. They're promises of guidance, yes. They're promises of answered prayer. Yeah, what's the other one?
Victory.
No, forgiveness. How can we forget 1 John 1:9? You know? These verse cards are a way that to start a guy memorizing, and it's also a way to motivate him to move on, as we'll see. But when we start to memorize, let's just go to the very basics. You can memorize a lot of different ways. Like, how would you start memorizing if I didn't give you this? You know, how have you started memorizing in the past? When I became a believer, I turned to Psalms and memorized a whole psalm. Of course, I found the shortest one I could find, but I memorized the whole thing. That's one way. You were going to say one?
Well, no, I usually find ones that have, you know, spoken to my heart through the years.
Okay.
And, you know, just bits and pieces. Say you find a parable that you love and something that Christ said in that parable speaks to you. And I'll find some element of that and memorize that so I can always go back to that parable.
Great. Perfect. I was thinking of a couple others where, you know, you just pick a verse and skip around. You know, some guys just open it, point, let's memorize that. I don't know if that's good or bad. At least they're memorizing Scripture and that they've got a heart for it. Some guys memorize a whole chapter like I did, you know, a whole psalm. Some guys memorize a whole book. You know, we've got kids in Awanas at our church that memorize, what is it, Timothy. Holy cow. Wow. That's awesome. Well, what we're going to talk about today is what I do and what I feel. It's worked for the navigators, and I've always said if it works for them, it works. That's good enough for me. I don't want to invent the wheel. And if I can memorize all the verses that the navigators has out there, which I definitely haven't, but under their system, and it works for them, I'm going to make it work for me, and I'll make it work for others. So a couple of the things that they do, or that I do in this, is that, number one, pick a translation that you like, that you can stick with. It might be the King James Version.
Amen.
Uh-huh. It might be the New International Version. A lot of guys do that. I started memorizing Scripture the only Bible I had was a New American Standard. So I've stuck with that. I memorized from the New American Standard. Try to get a version that you can stick with. Don't jump around. Don't do one in King James, another one in NIV, and another one in something else. Stick with what you want. My wife likes, yes.
Why?
Well, it makes it easier to, number one, to find it word perfect when you're talking to another guy if he wants to see it in context and reference. Now, I'm not against going all over the place. I feel personally that it's easier for me to do it in one version. And I typically don't do paraphrases, like to memorize from the Amplified Version. I'm just not going to do that. If I'm going to do that, I'll quote the verse with the man I'm working with, and then I'll open up another version and we'll read it from that and we'll discuss it. Yeah, Mike.
Since I truly believe that the King James is the inspired version by God, I use that as a, and since I'm over 60 and that's all I learned in Bible school when I was growing up was the King James, then when I think of answered prayer, John 16:24, it's hitherto. Have you asked nothing in my name? Well, some people don't quite understand hitherto. And so I will quote it in the King James Version, and I say, and others often say, until now. Have you asked nothing? And so I will quote a second translation of that, but it seems like that I'm sticking to one translation, you know, to have the core of my ability to help other people in the moment of need of a verse because of a topic that they're struggling with. And that helps me to be able to reference that topic and help them in basically what sometimes I always thought is the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, I'm standing there and they need some help, you know. And
I think it's a very personal thing. And like when I am talking with other guys, I normally won't quote the verse completely with them because I don't want to throw it at them. I will paraphrase. You know, when one of the things I do is once I get a verse down, I'll flip the card over if it's got a blank back, and I will paraphrase it out. What does this mean? You know, in other words. So do the David Murray translation, you know. It's not doesn't have any Greek or Hebrew or all that Aramaic stuff in it, but it does bring the point across to where I know the verse. It's personal to me, and so I keep it in that translation. And then when I talk with others, you know, I may say some of it, but I don't say the whole thing without breaking it out into what I've learned and what this means. So because I'm trying to relate with them, and I'm not trying to put them down or make them feel bad.
Well, and that's really just a case-by-case situation as you may be prompted by the Holy Spirit, because the word is the sword.
Absolutely.
And a sword can be handled as a weapon or a tool. Mm-hmm. And I think there's times when rattling off a verse word perfectly with confidence drills home the fact that I've studied this, I've memorized it, I know it well.
I know
it.
That's
why I'm bringing it up at this moment in time.
Yeah.
But again, it would depend on your audience, because it can then go the other way where people are offended or put off or label you as a legalist or whatever.
Well, a lot of times, like I say, I work with kids, with high schoolers and sometimes middle schoolers, but most of the time high schoolers. And I'll say, I memorize in the New American Standard, and my wife will go, "God, David, they don't know what that word means." And so I'll say it, the whole verse, and then I'll come back and I'll go, "You know, this word means this. And so just let's put that in this verse." And if I've memorized the verse really well, I'll be able to rattle it off, leave that word that's in the New American Standard out, and put the other verse in. Yes?
This is my first time coming.
No problem.
So I just have a couple questions. I'm trying to... Well, that's 24 hours. I know it's going to come to the description of everything. I've been hearing the same thing, and I'm kind of curious. I've heard a number of men talk about how if they have a verse memorized perfectly and they quote it, they're going to offend somebody.
And say that again.
I don't believe that, yeah. But I may have said that already, but
no,
yeah.
I've heard worried about if you quote scripture word for word to somebody, that they might get offended or
I'm hearing this quite a bit, just in the last 24 hours. Is that something that's kind of common around now?
Okay. Well, I want to say, you know, I memorized the topical memory system in the early 80s in King James Version, so you'll like me a little
Hallelujah.
Bit. And a few more verses after that. But then I switched to the NIV because it's American English.
Right.
I still refer to it as the Nearly Inspired Version because there's probably slightly more accurate versions. But what I heard a Bible scholar say once back in that time frame was, the problem we have in America today is not that people are reading the most perfect literal translation of the word, it's the fact that they're not reading any Bible.
Yeah.
So salvation can come from reading a living Bible, an amplified children's living Bible, and if someone is really seeking the Lord, they'll find him and they'll grow from it. And I just wanted to add 2 cents on the translation thing. The biggest reason I don't jump around and memorizing different translations is because if you become a student of memorization and start memorizing hundreds of passages and whole books, if you jump around, it really screws up your mind on when you're trying to just review and have it done right. And one of the reasons for memorizing word perfect is, again, doing things with excellence. You know, how do we want to do our job in life with excellence? How do we want to serve the Lord with excellence? I want to memorize with excellence, but again, there's a fine line because then it becomes can become legalistic and if our heart's in the wrong spot.
Yeah. Or if we have a mean spirit or a grumpy day, you know, when we're messing with when we're dealing with other guys, you know, it can get a little tense. But staying in the same version is a good way of doing it. The way that I like to do this also, and it's in this book, is that you pick your translation, you put a topic to it. You memorize the topic, like the assurance of salvation. You memorize the reference, 1 John 5:11-12. Then you memorize the verse. How do you memorize? The way I have always done it, and I was told this way from my mentors like Bob Potter and Richard Beach and others. Neither one are still alive now, but they would go, you know, like Bob Potter would say on a real long verse, just go from the first of the sentence to the first paragraph or the first comma and memorize that part. And then go back and go 1 John 5:11-12. And the witness is this. And then you go to the next one, the next phrase. And then you go to the next phrase, and you continue to just do this circular thought of each phrase and sticking them all together and reviewing and reviewing and reviewing them. And you've got the verse after a while. For guys who have never memorized verses, you know, there's no easy way to do it. If you came here thinking that I or anybody else would say, okay, if you come here, I'll give you the easy way of memorizing verses. Well, there's only one way to memorize verses, is to get in there and get dirty with it and to start really working with it and going phrase by phrase and getting all the way through it. I've almost lost my place, but let me get
one
back here.
I thought we should have under why there is, the scripture says so. My son back there, we had a contest try to find verses in the scripture that either said or strongly insinuated that you should memorize. For example, I'll just pick two for brevity. As far back as Deuteronomy 6, Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, these commandments, this is NIV, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. How's it going to be on your heart? Or that one somebody referred to but didn't quote back in Psalm 119 where it's hidden in your heart.
How can a young man
be hidden in your heart if you haven't memorized it?
That's right.
Just tell me that. Yeah. Somebody explain it.
That's right.
And there, we came up with, I don't know, a dozen or 15 or 16 of them. They're scattered. You can look for them. And some of them will be... Mm-hmm.
Has any Have any of you guys memorized these
verses? How many have?
We're wimps today, and you know it as well as I do.
Uh-huh.
Because how many are in the current series?
72.
Oh, they've increased it.
Well,
the last time I did it, it was 60, I believe.
Yeah.
But do you know the total
verses or actual
cards? What was it when you memorized
cards? Cards. There's actually more verses if you like. 1 John 5:11 and 12. That's two verses, but it's one card.
When you memorize
the TMS that I remember, that I memorized in the 80s,
when I 60 cards. Actually 72.
Oh,
the only difference is there's in the newest one they changed a couple of verses. They differed.
Well, I was told that way back when guys like Downing and those guys were doing it that it was 106.
It could have been.
Do you know, about 10 years ago, I tried to find out through Roy Robertson what the 106 were. We had a hard time. We finally found out. You know who we found out from? He found out from Roy Robertson, Dawson's wife, before she passed, whenever that was.
Wow.
I've got a list of them and some cards at home.
Yeah.
But, wow. So I thought, gee, they're only asking 60.
Right.
It used to be 106.
Well,
complaining that we can't memorize.
The reason I ask you guys if you've memorized it, if you haven't memorized this yet, you've got one? Okay. Did you get one? Okay. If you have memorized this, I want you to find a man and give it to him. This is just a little encouragement card for you to find somebody who's never memorized these to try to memorize them. I've given them to my boys. I've given them to guys at work who want to start to memorize them. I just encourage you, try to do that. There's only five memory cards. But have them do it as far, you know, you can read the book, and the next week have the verse memorized. And if they don't have it in that next week, then give them a break and stay with them until they do. One of my friends that I did this with, he did the whole thing, and then he said, you know, I just really don't want to do this anymore. And I said, that's awesome. That's good. That's okay. It's no problem. If you want to start it up, I'm here for you. But he will, to this day, come back to me whenever I talk to him. And I saw him just a couple of weeks ago, and I would say, you still remember those verses? And he says, yeah. He memorized all five, but he remembers one. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. And what?
He will direct your paths.
That's right. And I'm going, is that just not a blessing? To know He is still connected with that verse. And so if you want any more of these, we do have a few more of them. Has anybody, you have already said this, you did the topical memory system. That's what this is. Has anybody not, or... if you guys have a desire to start this, I've got 13 of these up here. This is the new, this is the old, or not too old, but this one's out of print, this one's in print. If you go, you can come up here and take one, and because they're for you.
David?
Yes.
They probably need to know how much that costs.
Doesn't cost them anything.
That's a very generous gift.
Doesn't cost anything.
Well, it used to be $10. I don't know how much they are.
Yeah. It doesn't cost us nothing. I mean, because I could tell you that the old ones, I bought them when they were going out, and they weren't $10 at that point. We got a good deal on those, so everything's cool. But if you guys want one of those, just come up afterwards and get one. I was thinking, well, I would, somebody answered a question, I'd give one to them, but I'm going, well, everybody's going to answer a question. So, but if you've done it, don't take one, but if you have and would like to start, take one of these. They're for you, and I'd rather you take them than me take them back home. Let's see. Oh, we're going to do this. The reasons for memorizing Scripture. This is a little handout. Take one of these and take send it all the way to the back. It's this. If you got a pencil, hopefully you can fill out the blanks. If not, hopefully you've got a good memory. Or you can get this later on, and there'll be a, if you get the DVD, it will have these notes in here. But I just wanted to go over some of these. These are some of the answers to these questions here. You know, reasons for memorizing God's Word. What memorizing God's Word will do for you. If you've got your Bible, you can look up these verses after I say this, stuff. But it helps to overcome worry. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, "Be anxious for nothing." I used to do this with my dad all the time before he passed away. He was just a consummate worrier. And I'd say, "Dad, you know Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't you? It starts off, don't worry about stuff." That's my translation. Get that? You know, and New American Standard says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, give your request to God. Let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." What a great verse. What a great verse. Here's another one. It helps you have victory over sin. One of the verses in this green pack, which is such a great help for us, it's assurance of victory, is 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, "No temptation will overtake you. Doesn't mean there's no temptations out there. We know better than that. But it says, when temptation's upon you, you know, like the last minute, or 5-10 minutes ago before you walked in here, I had a bad thought. You know, that happens. No temptation. When those temptations come, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. I am free to stand up here and say to you guys, you know, today, even though I'm standing up here talking about Scripture memory, I've had some bad thoughts today. And I can confidently say, I bet you have too, because this verse says that. You know, and so we're in the same boat. So let's wrap our arms together and encourage one another to make it through this. But it says, "No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man, and God is the faithful one." I'm very unfaithful. But God is a faithful one who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Isn't that an amazing thing? But with the temptation, will provide the way of escape also. That's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our escape. Jesus Christ is our escape. There's no other escape that satisfies and does it perfectly than Jesus Christ. I can be with Mike, my accountability partner, and he can help me through an escape. But when Mike leaves, I'm there all alone. Who's going to help me then? It's Jesus Christ, because He's faithful and He's there all the time. What memorizing Scripture, God's Word, will do for you, that number three is it helps to gain confidence in witnessing. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." What a great verse. What a great verse. It enriches us. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you. Dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." What a great verse. I haven't memorized that one, but I'm going to. I've got two stories about this that I wrote down while I was writing this down. It says, you know, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms." Okay, I know where the psalms is. "And hymns." Have I heard that before? I've got 11 grandchildren. And one of my boys has 4. One of my boys has 2. Another boy has 1. Boys. And these kids will get around in our house and they'll sing "Amazing Grace." Have you ever heard a 3-year-old sing "Amazing Grace"? we've got one of these boys that we were putting him to bed, and I'm kneeling beside his bed, and I'm praying with him, and then he says, can we sing Amazing Grace? And I, sure. And he can't put all the, you know, tongue's not quite working quite right, so he kind of slurs a lot of stuff, but Amazing Grace. That's what this verse is talking about. Coming from a child. How sweet the sound. And he sings that whole thing. And then at the end, because I stop, I'm going, okay, amen. And then he starts, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my... And I lose it. This kid is fulfilling this psalm, or this verse. Christ is in him, even at that young age. And he's singing that song. There's another song that I sing with all the kids because it says spiritual songs. And I was thinking about that and I was going, I've done that with my kids. If a friend does not like to memorize verses, maybe you can teach him a song. Matthew 6:33. You guys know that song? Seek ye first. You can sing the whole song, and the whole verse in the song. And I sing that with my grandkids. I've sung it with all my kids. They bring their kids over to spend the night at Grandpa and Grandma's house. They expect us to sing that song because I sang it with them. Been doing it 37 years. They know that verse. And they may sing it to you when they quote it, but they're going to... You know, I'm going, that is a great, I just love that type of an illustration. Let's move on.
I found another one.
Another why. Yes. Is that the why? What do you want to say? Okay, there you go. So what is, what's the other why?
Why? Yeah, because if you don't have your glasses, you can't see.
Okay, how am I going to write that down?
I don't know. Convenience.
Convenience, there you go. Good, good, good. Why?
You can't see.
Convenience.
Maybe in a spot in life, for whatever reason, you don't have a Bible accessible or readable.
That's right. The lights are off. I was doing this last night while I was in bed, and the lights were off. I was quoting verses. And I'm still... have to look at my verse cards because I go blank when we're talking up here.
Some of the prisoners in North Korea and other places that didn't have their scriptures, or if they had one, it was taken away from them.
Yeah.
And that they could remember some from what they did in Sunday school or mm-hmm. the youth group.
That's right. That's right. It's just a huge thing. It enriches us. We did that one. Number five, it says, Moses urges it in Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7. Just 6:6 in Deuteronomy says, and these words which I commanded you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them. The verse goes on, but it's basically saying all the time. When you sit down, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise up. You've always got these. Moses is encouraging us to memorize Scripture. Here, Jesus uses it in Matthew 4:4. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, says it to Satan. That's pretty direct. That's pretty gutsy. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, it is also, it gives stability. Psalm 37:31 says, the law of his God is, and that his is a righteous man. It's just not anybody, but it's a righteous man. The law of his God is in his heart, and his steps do not slip. What a great verse. 37:31. And it's also memorizing God's word will do for you. It is written on the heart. Proverbs 7:3 says, bind them, that's God's words, on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. A great verse. Why topics and references? These are just a couple of things. I might have already gone over them a little bit, but it's to understand the meaning of the verses. Bob Potter told me it's a mental hook when you're quoting them and going from one verse to another, especially when you're going through the bridge illustration, to know that all have sinned and sin has a penalty. I mean, they're hooks that go to the next verse all the way through. It's very nice to be able to have that when you're working with a guy and sharing your faith. They serve you well when done. And knowing the reference and quoting it before and after is really important. Because to know where it is a great tool to just give to somebody and say, look at this verse here, because I think it matches what you're talking about.
I've been in situations where I've shared verses with men and we didn't have a Bible with us, but I quoted them to them, but then I wrote the references down on a napkin so that they could take it home and look it up for themselves.
Yeah. You get a man opening God's Word, you don't know where he's going to go with it. God's going to take him all over the place and go and really answer some things that he was maybe too embarrassed to ask you face to face, or my answer wasn't quite enough. And so he gets into that Word and he's got your reference down, and so he's got a place to go to start. And that's what's so important, I think. Okay, observations. A lot of these things have come from Gene Ward over the years and times that I've heard him speaking here. And observations about the Word of God. It is matchless. Put in that little place, matchless. Man cannot duplicate it. The best novel isn't as good as the Bible. Isn't as good. You know the book Unbroken, I've read it twice. Probably won't do it again. I've read the Bible quite a few times. I'm going to do that a lot more times because it says more things. Unbroken is a great book with a great man behind it, Louis Zamperini. But the Bible's about Jesus Christ, an even greater man. And so it's matchless. It is ultimate. That's what you put in there, ultimate. It is final. It will not be changed. And its judgments have no appeal. You don't have to go to court. They're done. It is ultimate. You can trust it. It is true. You can walk with it. When I came to Christ, I was reading in John, and I'd gotten to John 5. And I stopped in my reading in college when I was in this apartment that I was there all alone. And I got to about John 5, and I was going, I've got to trust this. Because it's the truth. I've been searching for truth, and everything I've done on my own, I've screwed up. My life is going nowhere fast. And so I said 39 years ago, Jesus Christ, you can take me all the way, all the way. And he's never let me down. It's been true. It is perfect. This is the third thing. It is perfect. Put perfect in there. God is perfect. So no one can improve on it. Number four, it is timeless. It is relevant in the past, in the present, and the future. Somebody who says the Bible isn't relevant, I'm going, you've never applied it to your life. You've read it like a novel, and it's not. If you'd ask the Holy Spirit to teach you, you would never say that. It is indestructible. Absolutely no person, put in indestructible there. Absolutely no person or force can destroy it. I don't care what's going to go on in the world and in the future, but God's Word will stand forever. Every jot and tittle, every point and minor point will be there because it's God's Word. God is powerful. God's Word is ineffective. When is it ineffective? here's three things, and these cut me to the core because I really need to. When I hear these things, I ask myself, is this where I'm at now, or is it? Should I be somewhere else? Here it says, the Christian is. It's ineffective when the Christian is neglecting it. Do I neglect God's word? When I'm neglecting God's word, I'm in trouble. Number two, it's ineffective when the Christian is doubting what it says. Now, I've worked with a lot of guys. I myself have doubted things that the Bible says. I don't know if it's doubt as much as just ignorance. I haven't researched enough. I haven't done my homework enough. I haven't meditated on enough. Maybe I just need to memorize that and get with it. The third one down, the Christian, the Word of God is ineffective when the Christian is disobeying it. When he reads it, he knows what it says, and you go against it. God's Word is ineffective then. So let's obey. Let's quit doubting, and let's read our Bibles and memorize our Bibles.
Can you be able to say, in addition to that, it's ineffective whenever a Christian is abusing it as I'm using it out of context?
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason to put stuff in context so that you'll get the full force of it and so that you won't misinterpret, won't go off on a tangent that God will have to discipline you about and bring you back. So I would say yes. Yeah.
Is that old saying they used to say, quoting Scripture out of context?
Is a pretext, yeah. Good. The last few things there, you've seen the hand illustration. That's on page 9 of your Key Men's Invitational booklet. They've already talked about that. And also on page 3, I think they give the wheel illustration. Let's move on. There's three rules about Scripture memory. Three rules. They're real hard to remember. Let's try to put them on... let's use an acronym. Let's use R's. Three rules about Scripture memory to be successful at it for the long haul. You ready? Review is the first one. The second one is review. And the third one is review. We have to review our verses. You might have a few verses, two or three verses, and you just review them all the time. And then try to get a third verse and review them all the time. And build it up. You know, I counted the other day, I've got like 96 verses. When I see them, I can pop them up. And I review those. How long does it take? Well, it takes a while. You know, I'm slow, so I'm not going to tell you how long it takes, but it takes a while. Some of the guys here who have taught this class or this workshop have said that questions come up. How many verses do you know? And this one guy was going, well, I got boxes full of them. How do you review them? Well, he had a system. Well, I'm not going to give you, I don't know a system. I just go from start to finish, and then then I go back and start to finish. And if I want to start in the middle and go, I just review. You got to review. And so it's real important to have a buddy help you.
David, do you mind if I ask you how you do that? I learned to use a little packet.
Yes.
Is that what you do when you say review? Or do you do a certain number at a time? How do you do that?
I do, obviously, the assurance verses.
What do you do? Do you like a certain... Do you have a certain number in your packet, and then that's your review?
Well, I go through all of... I keep the topical memory system verses. There's 72 of them there, and I keep them in order, you know. And I just go straight through them.
So you do it just sitting down, basically, just going through a box of verses.
Well, I've got them in packs, and I've got them in my... Like you were saying, you've got a card that you walk down the street, and you're... And I'll do that at work sometimes. I very seldom eat lunch.
So do you have your packet with you?
It's in the car.
I was looking. I'm just curious, just to see what you do.
that you you carry a little verse.
Yeah, I will. Yes, let me answer that question with the next thing that we're going through.
Yeah, is that what
yeah
you
that's exactly what I have.
And you have a certain number that for your review, and you just have a little segment, a section that you review, and you go on, put that in the box, and pick up another section. Is that it?
That's how I do it. This is kind of like the next set. You know, I was going to go through the topical memory way. You know, the TMS, this one right here, the brown one, has 72 verses. This one does 2. In it, and that's 72 cards. There might be a couple of verses on each on a couple of them, or I will put verses additions to like the next verse down sometimes. So I'm adding to it. Like the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12 verses are all about living the new life. Okay? So they go over Christ the center. It's just the wheel. This is what's on page 3 of our book, of our handout. It's just the wheel illustration. And I'm going, if you really want to memorize Scripture and you've got a young guy who's doing it, or an old young guy, you know, you're starting with this, and you go to the topical memory system if he says, I want to go further. And I love the topical memory system because I'm all into recalling, able to recall while I drive down the road. My wife will do this when we're driving late at night and she knows that I'm getting tired. Like if we're driving to Florida or something and we're, by golly, we're going to make it. And she'll go, well, why don't you tell me some verses? I said, where do you want me to start? And she'll go, what about the new life? Oh, okay, Christ the center. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away, behold, new things have come. Galatians 2:20. Oops, I forgot. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 4 and a half. You know. Then you just go through them. But you've got a place to start. And you've got a topic that's at the top of your mind. Obedience to Christ is the next one. You know, the wheel. Or the rim. You've got this Christ as center, you've got the rim. Obedience to Christ. Then you've got the Word. Obviously, it's got to be first. The Word is most important. God's talking to us, and so you throw those verses out there. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. And in 17, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Those are great verses. And Joshua 1:8. Mike, you know that one. That's your favorite verse. In the Word.
This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate therein day and night, that I mayest observe and do all things according as it is written.
Amen.
And then I shall find my profitable and
have success.
That's right. That's right. It's hard when somebody calls on somebody and do that. I mean, it's hard enough for me to remember stuff. But then you've got prayer. God talking to you. This is all about the wheel. This is how I remember. This is how I review. Let me add one more thing to this, is because as I finish that, I start adding verses. I went with a guy who went through the whole topical memory system, and he was a memory nut. He really got them. And so we went back through these again to review. But each week I said, on Christ the center, next week we're going to review 2 Corinthians 5:17 and Galatians 2:20. But I want you this week also, and I will, obviously, because we're together, I'll find 2 more verses on the same topic. All of a sudden, he went from 2 to 4 verses for Christ the center. And we did the same for obedience to Christ. The next week, we're not only reviewing the 2 verses we had before, but we are adding 2 more. So all of a sudden, you went from 4 to 8, because 2 more in Christ the center and 2 more in obedience to Christ. So that's why I like to keep a topic with everything for recollection. It's a hook to pull the verse out of my mind. But you've got the Word of God, one of the spokes, God's talking to me. And then you've got prayer, I've got to talk to God. And that's how I have my quiet time anyway. I read a chapter, I highlight verses that are important. There might only be 2 that pop out. I'll take those verses, I'll read them again after I finish the chapter, and I'll pick one of them that's important, that's the most important, that God's speaking to me the most. And I'll take that verse and I'll write it down, word for word, jot and tittle. Everything's there. And then I'll put a tag on it. This verse is about guidance. and then I'll file it in my guidance group. I won't just put it at the end. I'll put it with my guidance group. And that's kind of answering part of your question, isn't it, as far as how you review or how I'm reviewing. My added verses won't go all the way to the end. If they're about Christ the center, they'll be up at the with Christ the center verses because I review all those at the same time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I was just interested in the mechanics.
Because
I learned to have just a certain number that'll be my review cards, and then I have my little pack, and then through the day.
Well, I'm not going to carry all of them. I'll have two big, full packs in my pockets, and I'm going, well, I'm not doing that. So I'll pull out 20 or something like that and do, and it might take me a week to do them. And then, as I'm adding, that's not part of review. That's starting something new.
And do you do it in your quiet time, or do you do it?
I do it whenever is possible. Okay. Whenever I have a time where I'm alone and I'm able to do it.
Okay. On the treadmill can be a pretty good place to review it.
So yeah.
A little harder.
That's right.
Get a new one because of the motion. you get the one to review.
That's right. As far as the topical memory system, which is right down here, you've got proclaiming Christ. That's a great group of verses, another 12 verses. It's the bridge illustration. I never, memorized any verses that dealt with leading somebody to Christ. I used to go to the City Rescue Mission in Oklahoma City and share there and serve the guys and sing some songs. Mike went with me a number of times. And I memorized all those verses for the bridge illustration. And I knew the hooks and everything. And I had a guy come up after a talk that I had given. And because a lot of those guys, we would go and we'd sing some songs. Mike would sing some songs for him. And I'd get up and I'd share a message. And a guy came up afterwards and said, I want to receive Christ. And I was going, oh, really? Well, okay. And I started shaking a little bit and thinking about, okay, the bridge illustration. Well, you know all of sin. And he goes, oh, yeah, I know that. And the penalty for, I know that. And he said, no, I want to get right with God. And I said, so I jumped all the way to must receive Christ. I quoted John 1:12. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And he said, that's what I want. I said, let's pray. So I only used one verse, but it was because I memorized proclaiming Christ. See how it works in your day? I mean, in your ministry, I don't know what God's doing in these guys' lives. You know, I'm just got to be where you're supposed to be, at least try to be. But then another big one is be Christ's disciple. This is in the TMS group. And I always put Colossians 2, 6, and 7 because that's when I started the TMS, was doing the 2-7. Yeah, thank you. The 2-7 Bible study. That goes through all of these verses also. But then you've got growing in Christ-likeness and relying on God's resources. I mean, what a great thing to be able to memorize verses about God's faithfulness, His peace, about humility, about God's good works. What a great thing to be able to do. They also have another TMS out, and I don't even know if they still do it, but I had it once. I still have the verses. They're on blue cards. They're life issues, 72 in there. If you're into life issues, I mean, I look at them when I'm dealing with some kids that are... Kids go through everything right now. But, you know, they're talking about some of these... there's six verses that deal with money, six verses that deal with stress, depression, sex, knowing God's will, dealing with sin, guilt. I mean, I use these verses when I talk to the kids. Why not? It's right up their alley. You know? And so these are resources that we have. I've already explained a little bit about this, expanding the system to go further. We've only got five more minutes, and so there's something that you can do to expand your system. I've already gone over a little bit. It deals with being in your quiet time, and it deals with, let's do this. We're going to go over just a little bit, so I really didn't promise that we'd get over on time, but I want you guys, if you got your Bibles, do this pretty quick. You can open up to Romans chapter 5 and read Romans chapter 5. If you don't have a piece of paper, I can give you one. But read Romans chapter 5. Highlight the verses that really mean something to you. I'm going to give you about 2 minutes to do this. Pick one that means the most to you. Romans chapter 5. You can pick Romans 5:8, but I'd suggest not to. Once you've read it, pick one verse that really means the most to you. And then write it down. Romans chapter 5. After you've written it down, put a topic on it. Not always the easiest thing to do. But scripture memory isn't easy. Put a topic on it. Think through it. What's it saying? What's the topic? Now you've got a new verse to memorize. It's got a topic. It's got a reference. Got the verse. Got the reference afterwards too. That's how you expand. That's how I expand my memory group. I'm just convinced and I'm committed personally. I will memorize verses that I don't put a reference to, but I forget them so quickly. I'm convinced in my own heart that I need to put references to them so that I can pull them up when I'm sleeping. Going to bed. Not sleeping, but going to bed.
You mean a reference or you mean a topic?
A topic. The reference would be the Romans. I'm sorry. Yes, that's what I meant. Does anybody want to share any of these verses to where you read the verse, you give me the reference, then you give me the give us the topic also. Does anybody want to share which ones you wrote down? Romans chapter 5. By the way, I had done Isaiah 58 before, and I didn't want to do the same one for this group, and so I asked this came from one of my sons, my oldest son. Romans chapter 5 is his favorite verse because it's got five of his favorite verses in them. Does anybody have something to share? Yes.
Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love to our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. Romans 5, chapter 5. God's plan for me.
God's plan for you. Isn't that awesome? I love that.
That was actually my verse. I just talked about love by the Holy Spirit.
Love by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5. Anybody have a different verse? Because that was my verse also, but
5:17.
Huh?
Romans 5:17.
5:17. Read. Say that one. And
for by one man's offense, death reigned through them. Much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ.
And what would your topic be?
The grace of salvation.
The grace of salvation. I mean, isn't that huge? And you can categorize these. And it's amazing when I run across certain verses that are, like I was saying on this one, Romans 5:5, I'm going, this is God's love for me. And that was the thing. And so all of a sudden I put that in all my other love verses. And there's a bunch of love verses. You know, my favorite one is 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. What a great verse. Short verse, but a great verse. Anything else? I really want to encourage you guys. I'm going to say something. I've got 13 of these up here. And if you do not or have never done the topical memory system, I really would like for you to come up and take one of these. Okay? If you've done it, let the other guys come first. And then if we've got some more left, you can get those. But let's pray. I love the conversation because it has taken this group where God wants it to go, I think. And so let's just pray and end our time together. Lord Jesus, I thank you for these guys, and I thank you for your word so much. The things you said to each one of us for everyday life is so important. Help us, Lord Jesus, to grab a hold of that and to get a passion for memorizing your word. And this is just one way of organizing it and doing it. I pray, Lord Jesus, that if it doesn't work for one of these men, that you would supply a better way for him so that he and each one of us would memorize Scripture and know it when we're sitting, when we're walking, when we're lying down, and when we're rising in the morning. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.